The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. Today, we're going to be discussing the trauma program at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston and what it means for the overall health and safety of our Ulster County community. And our guest is Leanne Bacchus-Zeltman. She is the Trauma Program Manager at Health Alliance Hospital, and with over two decades of experience in nursing, Leanne began her career with 9 years in emergency services as a paramedic and flight paramedic before becoming a registered nurse in 2000. She obtained her Bachelor of Science in Nursing in 2015 and completed her Master's of Science in Nursing, specializing as a family nurse practitioner in 2020. Throughout her career, Leanne has specialized in emergency department nursing across the Hudson Valley, where she has served as a preceptor, mentor, charge nurse, and emergency department clinical coordinator. So, Leanne, welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you. So let's start with just telling us a little bit more about yourself and your role at the Trauma Program Manager at Health Alliance.
So I previously come from Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital, which is our partner hospital within the Westchester network. I was there for almost 10 years in the emergency department. So I come, and they're a level 2 trauma center. So I come with some, you know, background experience. And when this opportunity was presented to me, I felt like it was time to make a change and come away from the bedside to operationalize a program. And this is something that I've always been passionate about. Obviously, your audience now has heard my resume. So this was something that I felt like I could really be passionate about. And it was a good change for me.
So Leanne, when you talk about trauma in a medical context, what does that actually mean? And what do the different levels of trauma mean?
So I think we're talking about two different things here. So trauma is injury to the tissues and organs that results in a transfer of energy from the environment. Now, when you talk about levels of trauma, there's different severities of injury. So that's one thing. When we talk about how we respond to a trauma patient coming into the hospital, those are different levels of activations of trauma patients.
Oh, I see. And so
it's a little bit, you know, different.
Yeah. And so Health Alliance just received a trauma level 3 designation. Well, what does that actually mean?
Okay. So that's where a lot of people get very, very confused. So within the trauma system, you know, hospitals that are trauma centers, you have levels 1, 2, and 3 type trauma centers. Mm-hmm. So Health Alliance is a provisional New York State designated level 3 trauma center, whereas Westchester Medical Center, Albany Medical Center, they are level 1 trauma centers. And basically what that means is that the level 1 trauma centers have a plethora of resources, specialty people at their disposal. They do research, they do burn patients. But anything that goes to that particular center, whether it comes to us or goes to them, the level of care should be the same. So the level of care that's provided at their maximum resources. So we may not have a burn center here at Health Alliance, but we can make sure that we can evaluate you and get you to the place where you can get the terminal care.
Mm-hmm. So what happens when you first get there is the same in terms of determining the extent of your injuries and what
Correct.
May be needed for follow-up. But then after that, that's where the level designation comes in. Is that right?
Right. So there's processes in place to take patients into the spectrum of care. And that initial assessment, evaluation, and decision-making tree is pretty much going to be the same no matter what kind of center you go to.
Mm-hmm. And might I ask, so if a person is suffers from a heart attack or becomes seriously injured in one way or another, how much of a difference does it make to have between like a 3 center and a 1 center? I mean, does that interval of time in transport, is that real? How critical is that?
Well, I mean, you're talking about heart attack. That's not actually a traumatic injury. But if you're talking about car accident victim or anything that needs, you know, you could put it in that context too. Car accident, a stroke, heart attack, you know, having a patient get to the appropriate facility in the appropriate amount of time. I mean, they talk about a golden hour. They'd like you to see terminal care in a golden hour, or at least some kind of damage control in that first hour, making sure that they get the initial appropriate resuscitation to stabilize them, figure out what's wrong with that particular patient and what the severity of their injuries are. And then you can have a decision-making process as to what kind of terminal care they need in terms of what the most appropriate level trauma center is.
So we should have confidence, though, that if somebody does go to Health Alliance or the emergency department with some type of injury, that they can be, I mean, you know, to the extent possible, be stabilized. And
So that
I think that's really the question I was getting at, you know.
Right. And evaluate them, make sure that we can keep them here. Yes, we have the resources, capabilities to take care of them. We, you know, because ultimately our goal is we want patients to be able to stay in the community where they come from. We know that when patients and families get displaced by miles, it creates an extra strain on the family, especially in the recovery period. So, you know, having a trauma center here that can take care of these patients will keep patients closer to home. But also if they are, you know, if their injuries are at the maximum of what we can handle, we want to make sure that we get them to the place where we know that they're going to get the terminal care that they require.
So I'm going to skip over just one section of your notes here to go to preparedness and practicing for events when people do come in, or, you know, maybe if there are more than one individual in an accident or what have you, or, you know, a bus act, whatever. How do you, what, walk us through the preparations that you go through in terms of practicing dry runs and, you know, bringing people together, et cetera.
Well, I mean, so we've done some practicing pretty much, you know, focusing on the emergency department, because that's basically the front door to the hospital when a patient comes in. We have collaborated with the emergency department team and our trauma service team, respiratory, radiology, the laboratory, and we've created some mock drills to illustrate a patient coming in and what everybody's role is. So we gave out, everybody had a name tag, and we read a scenario off. The patient was brought in by a fictitious emergency medical technician. They gave us their report on the patient, and then the team was able to kind of just verbalize and walk through how that patient's care would go. So those were practice drills that we'd done to get everybody to kind of behave in the same way every time as much as possible, because once it becomes a habit, it's not so forced.
Right. You don't want to practice it while it's actually happening. You want
to know. So we established those drills a while back to introduce everybody to kind of like the standard way that we should take care of these patients when they come in. Because if you go along with the standard, chances are you're not going to miss things.
Right. And so you have, in these cases of when it happens in real life, you have access to all of the services and providers that are associated with the hospital if need be. I mean, you really, is it really, does that thing become a priority in terms of...
So, yeah. So what happens when we know that a patient is coming in is we activate our trauma protocol. And then all the departments that we've done these drills with know what their role is when that kind of patient comes in, and they all respond and react accordingly. So radiology knows what it's supposed to do, and the laboratory knows what it's supposed to do, and the surgical people know what they're supposed to do. And the nursing supervisor gets involved, and the ED team, you know, they're the first ones that are there. So they all are, you know, frontline people getting the rooms ready before the patient comes. So everybody has been educated and trained on how to respond to a trauma activation.
And so you also, in your in the notes, you also have a pretty extensive education program, right? For continuing education credits and symposiums on trauma care and management. These are held pretty regularly, and you bring in experts from around different.
So, yeah. So the network has a collaborative consortium. That's the other thing that is strengthening to this program, is that we, you know, I regularly meet with my colleagues at the other trauma centers within our network. So we collaborate and we plan symposiums and seminars and lectures for the EMS providers. in the community so that we can make sure that they're up to date with the current practices. And then they get to meet us and we get to network with them. And that creates a bond because they're the ones that are bringing patients into us. Mm-hmm. So it's important that they have the knowledge to take care of them.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've only been in an emergency department myself for myself twice. And, you know, it's always kind of a little, you know, it's a little stress producing. And, you know, you're hurting or you're injured or you're sick and you walk into this strange place with a lot of people. So I'm sure that there's a lot more that goes into making the patient feel confident that that they're being well taken care of. And we want to learn about that a lot more. But first, we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
Every moment counts if you're at risk or living with lung cancer. And anyone with lungs can get lung cancer. It causes more cancer deaths than breast, colon, and prostate combined. It can feel like a race against time. And while there may be moments where you question your next step, it's essential to know that you don't have to confront lung cancer alone. Through it all, GoTo for Lung Cancer is here for you. From screening, treatment, and survivorship support, to finding the right care close to home, we are your community. As your friends, your guides, your teachers, your advocates, and your support system, GoTo is your go-to. Confronting lung cancer starts here. Visit GoTo.org today.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Every 36 seconds, a vehicle is stolen in the United States. Cars are an important investment, and you have the power to protect it. Remove valuables from your car or place out of view. Roll up your windows completely. Don't leave your car running while unattended, especially during the winter. And always lock your doors and take your keys or fob with you. If you know something about a vehicle theft, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB.
This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on Magic 92.5 WGHQ.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Today, we're discussing the trauma program at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston and what it means for the overall health and safety of the Ulster County community. Our guest is Leanne Bacchus-Zeltman. She is Trauma Program Manager at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston. So, Leanne, before the break, we were talking about what trauma is in the medical context, the different levels, how you go about preparing and practicing for events, and some of the education things that you do. Let's talk a little bit about, if you would, about the role that patients play in preventing injury in the first place, so that we can minimize the occurrences of people sustaining, you know, serious injuries and arriving at your emergency department.
Right. So we want to be a little bit, we want to be reactive. So that's the inpatient planning and care of the patient once they do have an injury. But we also want to be proactive in prevention. So we do some community outreach, collaborative stuff through the network. We're going to be implementing some injury prevention programs up here. Hopefully those are in the works to plan for right now. We do have one event that is part of our injury prevention, which is in collaboration with our local law enforcement partners. On August 24th, we're hosting a car seat safety event here at the Mary's Avenue campus. So there'll be some information and flyers coming out soon about that. You know, we also have throughout our network, we have a falls prevention program that we'll probably implement up here. We potentially are looking at implementing a distracted driver program in this area. They do one in Dutchess County that has been wildly successful over there. So, you know, it's not just about taking care of the patient once they have the accident, but increasing community awareness to how not to have those accidents and end up in our emergency department is also a big part of what it means to be a trauma center and a trauma, have a trauma program. So that's how it would benefit the community. So be on the lookout for new stuff coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I sat in on a meeting with a few folks from Health Alliance and the county executive. We were talking about traffic safety and bicycle safety and distracted driving. So those types of things. Yeah, certainly prevention is a great investment. Obviously, Health Alliance Hospital went through a lot of upgrades, a lot of new services, new resources, and so on. So two questions. So how would you rate the overall capabilities and of the hospital, given all of these, you know, brand new emergency department? And what are your future goals? What would you like to see happening?
So I have to tell you the emergency, I've worked in a lot of different emergency departments over the course of my career. The emergency department here is state of the art. It is well thought out, planned. We have great resuscitation rooms. The supplies are, you know, on point to take care of sick and injured patients. So, you know, that's a big thing, I think, for this community. A really good thing for this community. So, that's number one. That being said, we aspire as a program to, you know, we've already been designated a level 3 provisional status by New York State Department of Health, Bureau of EMS and Trauma Systems. What we are aspiring to achieve is what they call the American College of Surgeons verified trauma center, level 3 trauma center. So that's our shortish long-term goal. Hopefully we'll be able to facilitate that within the next 2 years or so. And that's, you know, that creates even more of a solidification that our processes and our care is good here.
Mm-hmm. So the staff that work, just out of curiosity, the staff that work in an emergency department, in your emergency department, are they pretty much dedicated to that department, or do they work in other parts of the hospital and are called in as needed? Or is it pretty much a dedicated staff, or are they always working together with the same people so that they establish those relationships and those working relationships?
I can't speak for the emergency department team because I do work with them, but I do not have they don't have direct reporting to me. Mm-hmm. However, from what I understand, the majority of the ER team stays in the ER. So they have a strong working relationship with one another. They don't typically go outside the ER to work in other departments.
And with respect to like working with different EMS squads and whatever, do they also, is there a lot of collaboration with them in terms of like co-training opportunities or helping them?
So in January, we hosted a Northern Region Trauma Symposium here at Health Alliance, and we had a very robust attendance. We had a lot of good feedback from the EMS community. We had 5 or 6 different lecturers, and we got a lot of good collaboration with the from the EMS community. So we also have a liaison that speaks to the EMS staff in the county. He participates in the county meetings, brings things forward, brings things back. So, you know, it's important that we maintain those relationships with the emergency medical services community, so that they know what we're here, we know they're here, we respect and work together as a team to take better care of a patient.
Mm-hmm. And with Ulster County being like the geographic size of the state of Rhode Island, right, you have a lot of EMS squads that are, you have EMS squads that are professional, right, with paramedics, whatever, but then you also have volunteer squads. Mm-hmm. So you have different levels of expertise and maybe different response times and whatever. Do you have, if a squad arrives on scene, and they encounter something serious that, you know, that they really need additional expertise or help, like immediately, does the team at Health Alliance, do they have like immediate communications with them to kind of help walk them through and guide them through some of this?
As far as I know, they have a couple different ways to get in touch with the emergency department. So they can always, you know, they can make a phone call to the emergency department. They have radio access to the emergency department. And they also use a computer application that's downloaded on phones to get assistance and guidance or a notification that the patients are coming in. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they're able to help them walk through. And so, so you've already talked about, you know, a number of the things that you do. So how do you think that the community, maybe the health, you know, public health can support your work, and what about other community partners? I mean, are there ways that we might be able to help, so that we're all more well prepared?
Well, my best suggestion would be when we put out our injury prevention platform and start working on that, to have, we'll collaborate with other agencies within the county, to build support and get the public involved.
Mm-hmm. And so, this is probably a very obvious question, but 911 is the way to, I mean, you can just walk into an emergency department at any time if you have to, or drive to, right? But other than that, it's 911 to get there, right?
Correct.
Okay,
but
great.
The ER is open 24/7.
And so is there anything else that you would like us to know, or like patients to know about what to expect or what to do or anything like that that they should be aware of?
I think my best advice is to utilize the resources that are out there for prevention and the programs that we will be implementing, hopefully in the next couple months, some of them, get involved, be aware, be alert, and use the resources that are available and know that we're going to be here to take care of you if you mm-hmm. do have mm-hmm. the worst day of your life.
And prevention also includes, I mean, preventative screenings for different chronic diseases and what have you, so that, you know, I know that there's unfortunately a lot, many people do show up in the emergency department for what would be otherwise be regular care or treatment, you know, for different diseases or conditions, from a primary care physician or specialist or whatever, and end up in the emergency department, which, you know, does cost more money and ends up, you know, consuming really critical resources for emergencies. So that's prevention comes to play there. So, well, Leanne, thank you so much for the work that you do and have done and that your colleagues do in keeping our community safe. It's really reassuring to know that, you know, really highly skilled, quality people such as yourself are there and your colleagues. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.